Hello, welcome to Kasinatian, Kasayuran, Kasaysayan, Kamatuuran, a show dedicated to discussing the latest topics of interest in Philippine politics and society from the perspective of Filipinos in general and Cebuanos in particular. This is your host, Ryan Dave Raila, educator and voice in the wind. This evening, we are joined by two educators, the two young educators from Cebu Normal University. They are here to bring forth their advocacies in life and also to share to us about their recent experiences as educators, no, in this hard time of the COVID-19 pandemic. And they are currently teaching at the tertiary level. So please help me welcome Ms. Emmanuel Ann Okaya and Mr. Richie Behasa. So, maayong gabi kaninyo, mga teachers.
Good evening, maayong gabi.
Maayong gabi.
Maayong gabi, said ma'am sirs, no? We have several talking points for this evening with us. And we are talking about advocacies in general. So, let's talk about the first talking point, ma'am sirs. Advocacies as a teaching essential. So anyone can go ahead.
Anne?
Okay, so I'll go first. I believe that having an advocacy is an essential in the 21st century teaching because I strongly am fascinated, or let's say drawn to, the UNESCO four pillars of education, wherein the fourth pillar is all about learning to live together. Now, finishing learning to live together, I believe we cannot achieve this unless we have our own advocacies that we're fighting for. And as teachers, we carry that advocacy into our platforms, into our classrooms, so that we will inspire and motivate others to take up the same causes as well. So again, this is in line with the learning to live together pillar of education. And I believe that even the smallest classrooms can grow into bigger platforms.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Okaya. Sir Behasa.
Okay, thank you for that. For me, advocacies complete as a whole person, I mean, as a teacher, because it brings you into different techniques, into different strategies that can help you and can build you as a better teacher. And with advocacies, it can serve, it can build more collaboration or network to some people and can inspire different people in the world. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So, advocacies, no, as teaching essentials. Do you have any, let's say, for example, any particular role model about, let's say, a teacher who is also an advocate of many social causes?
Okay.
Go ahead, Rich.
Actually, I have many teachers who are role models for me. Just like the one who is, Emmanuel Anokaya is one of the inspirations also when it comes to advocacies, Lina Arcelia, and many more teachers, Ginoong Sandot, and those people around. And when you are surrounded with those people, no, because of them, you are more inspired and you consider them an exemplar in the advocacies that you are doing.
I see. So thank you, Sir Rich. Miss Okaya, Miss Anne.
Right, so when you asked the question, the name that instantly popped into my mind, mula jun char, si ano, Mahatma Gandhi. I know that he was like a hero, but more than that, he was really a teacher for me because he led nonviolent protests, and several names came to mind, na Nelson Mandela, Viktor Frankl, and Frank, and I believe that these people, even though they're not really close to me, they have been exemplary figures in history and they teach us many lessons. And I also would like to thank Richie for that generous description of us being a team. Yeah, even in our university place, we really used to collaborate with other young leaders. And I believe that's also essential to surround yourself, as you said, with people who would really fight for the same causes with you.
Mm, I see. So, Mr. Behasa and Ms. Okaya, you are as well. You are based in Cebu, right?
Yes.
Okay. So these are Cebu-based teachers, dear audience. In that regard, we ask, for example, how are your respective advocacies, which we will get to later. How are your respective advocacies, let's say, faring in Cebu?
Right, so I'd like to answer that first. My advocacy, I guess, in Cebu is very strong because we have a campus of the University of the Philippines, and there are really a lot of young advocates, not only in UP, but because we are a strong university city, I believe that the youth force is very strong and that the causes that I'm fighting for are being shared and spread.
Yes. Let's turn it. For me too, I consider also Project Act Strong, even though it's just only for local. I mean, all the voluntary teachers in Cebu, but still I could see the importance of compassion that I could see from all of them. And that makes us project books getting stronger.
Mm, I see. So project books, sir, no? Ang inyong project. Okay. So we'll get
sir.
To that project books later, as we'll give time for Mr. Behasa and Ms. Okaya to flesh out their ideas about their advocacies in Cebu. So in particular, may I ask if your advocacies are focus solely on the youth?
In my project, it's really focused to the youth, mainly to the youth, and not just only for the youth, but also for children too.
I see. So
whereas my projects, my advocacies, I mean, are somehow targeted towards the youth. The main movers are young people, but it's like a global scale, or it's a societal scale change that we want to effect. But yes, the movers are primarily young people.
Okay, I see. So these are interesting perspectives, no, on your part, ma'am, sirs. We now go to the second talking point, because it is clear already that in your teaching careers, advocacies are central to what you do as teachers. We talk about advocacy. Does it, for example, does it take away something from your teaching methodologies, or does it enhance teaching methodologies in general?
Okay.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. For me, it really enhances, or getting in the way of teaching methods, specifically for 2 C's, which is communication and collaboration. As a teacher, and I'm having also an advocacy, there is an emphasis of building more the confidence of in communication. And second is the collaboration, which also exists in teaching, that we need to collaborate, not just only for the teachers, but also to our students. And with these 2 C's, I can really see that there is an enhancement or improvement as a teacher. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you, sir. Ms. Okaya?
Yes, so just to add on what Reggie already mentioned, that it enhances the necessary skills inside the classroom. I think that when you have an advocacy, it's something that you live out. It's something that naturally emanates from you. And I think that as a teacher, our primary goal is not only to impart facts, but really to inspire action. And when that spirit kind of emanates from you, it's natural. It's not forced to inspire action because, again, you model already that action.
I see. So, if I may ask, no, from both of you, are you supported by your respective institutions, or are you supported by certain groups in your advocacies, or are you doing this, let's say, using your own resources, or perhaps you are being supported by an umbrella group on this one, no? So, kinda that's I think that I,
okay.
That's how I would phrase the question. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to start with the line which I got this from Teacher Lim. It naturally comes out. Even though that I don't have really the main partners in my project, but I always believe that there are really people who would really help you in your projects or programs, and it naturally comes out. And despite from the from struggles like looking for partners, but as I've mentioned a while ago, that I always believe on the kindness and the compassion of the people, and that's why dili lang kay kumagool when it comes to that, because naara gyud sila nga willing motabang ug musuporta, even though nga dili sila dagko nga mga group kaayo, pero when you combine mag-combine naming tanan, that's the thing that makes it more bigger and stronger. Thank you.
Okay, sir. So that's very interesting, sir, no? That you are actually coordinating with a lot of other similar-minded groups. But not necessarily that these groups are, let's say, they're part of a united front, perhaps, of similar groups. But these are, let's say, we can call them as small stakeholders lang, no? In that sense. So these are all Cebu based. Yes, sir? Your partners?
Yes, sir. They are all Cebu based. And some also are, they don't have their really like their organizations, but individual compassionate people.
I see. So the spirit of volunteerism is alive and well indeed. Okay, thank you, Sir Bihasa.
Yes,
Ma'am Okaya. You did mention earlier, Ma'am Okaya, that you had several different advocacies. No? So perhaps you can share one or two of them for us.
Okay, so as a young leader in Cebu, especially because I started out as a student leader, I would just go through all of these organizations and try to learn about the causes that they were fighting for. And I guess the two main standouts that have stuck with me for years. The first one is my partnership with the World Youth Alliance Asia Pacific. So this is a global organization fighting for human dignity and human rights. So that is the main advocacy of that organization. Recently, during the quarantine season, I got into Greenpeace and became a student of the Better Normal Youth Classrooms for Future. So in summary, that would be the advocacies that are very close to my heart right now.
I see. So if I may ask both of you teachers, now what are you teaching in college currently?
I'm currently teaching research, computer mediated communication, Japanese, and I forgot the other one. Literature of the Philippines too.
I see. So these are all related to concern. No? These are related to language studies. You're majoring in language studies, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ms. Okaya.
So I was a graduate of education at Cebu Normal University. So right now I'm a part-time instructor handling the teaching profession, which is basically about the historical and philosophical foundations of education, as well as the teaching of social studies major in culture and geography for elementary grades.
I see. So very interesting subjects for both of you guys. No, in this regard, no, I'd like to ask, for example, from you teachers, how are you coping up with your advocacy and of course with your teaching careers, considering that so many has changed under COVID-19, no? So for example, can you give us a glimpse as to what you are doing to still enhance your advocacy at the same time enhance your teaching careers as well, or rather your teaching instructions, no? Your in this time of the pandemic.
Okay. Actually, I have to be honest with you that I've been struggling for almost 3 months because, like, I really don't know how to continue the project, my project, because of the pandemic. And, like, there are times that, like, heavy moments, down moments, because, I really don't know what to do. But because when you try to top other people, like, because you have also the eagerness to continue on the projects that you have started, so you need to be with people who can help you and to continue on your projects. And luckily, maybe because also that I have the heart of service and the eagerness to be a volunteer, and for 4 years, and because of that, no. I'm able to continue the projects nga ako ang nana start na og mupadayon gihapon. And kana siya nga mas maningkamot ko og mas magunahon na pagyud kay mga tao, no. Kana kung gihunon nato ang mga tao nga kinahanglan sila og kanang tabang bisag ako or dunsod pa, pero I think innate na para na ko lang, no, nga dapat mutabang ko sa mga tao. Bahala ikaw sa imong kagalingon kay nagdaghan sa ukol pag ko lang. Thank you.
Sige, thank you, sir. Anne?
Right, so I really reflected on that question, and like Retchi, to be honest, I'm also struggling because this is my first semester in college, and I think the struggle is extra because of the situation we're in. And I think the first step in really improving yourself holistically is to admit and to accept what is, right? And
yes, Miss Anne, go ahead. Go ahead, Anne.
Okay. So I make a schedule for my, what do you call this, affiliations, and I see to it that I can still integrate the causes that matter to me inside my schedule.
I see. So you're really finding time, no? So, and I commend you both for this one. You're really finding time to enhance yourselves and to continue your engagement amidst all the changes that we have experienced so far. Okay, so that's very commendable, especially for you guys who are still starting out in college as educators. Okay, so we go now to the last, the third talking point, and I'll give you now the time to expound on what your respective advocacies are in at this time. So perhaps you can start with Anne.
Right, so as I've mentioned earlier, I am an advocate of human dignity. At WAIA, we call ourselves the Dignity Defenders because dignity would seem like a very foreign concept to most people. If you try to explain it, some people would go crazy, like, kaseryoso sad nimo, or is that a very heavy topic? But here in our organization, or with the organization I'm affiliated in, we're trying to really communicate to people that dignity has its manifestations as when EJKs become trending, that it's important. It's actually in every policy that the government pushes through. So it's basically on policy building. Our work is also on policy building. And then I also mentioned that I have recently been affiliated with Greenpeace. So that's an advocacy for livable cities, for cities that are sustainably made and sustainably, what you call this, sustainable to live in.
And you mean green cities?
Yes, yes, that's the term.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Behasa, you did mention that you are into, let's say, project books. So I'm assuming this is about literacy and the promotion of the love for reading. Can you tell our audience, sir, as to your project?
Yes, sir. Project promotes accessible education for Filipino learners of various grade level. And it was founded in 2016 when I was in college. And this nonprofit Peru Education Organization is made up of numerous volunteer teachers across Cebu and individuals with the mission of helping students access quality education through giving free lessons, tutorials, and fundraising to provide books and school kits for students. And also, one of the parts of Project Books is to look for inspiring people of the way, which we wanted to spread the people who serve as an inspiration. And we also have another program, the school public school bond paper for teachers, because we wanted also to help our teachers. And since Project Boost doesn't only focuses for the youth and for the children, but also for the whole community. And for 4 years, it's been an amazing journey for us. Thank you.
I see. So this Project Book, sir, is not only, let's say, it's not only meant as a promotion of literacy, but I believe this is also what we call peer tutoring or peer study group. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We do have sessions on that, especially from the last year, like since how to say this one. We visited different mountainous areas for them to teach different subjects. And for this online, we do the, yes, you have mentioned peer tutoring, and then the students will just call us if they need for academic, like a specific subject, which we could find also in our volunteer teachers information board, where they can contact us about their needs. I mean, if they wanted to contact teachers so that they can help with their academic needs, sir.
I see. So it's like a teacher's hotline, no? It's like a tutorial hotline service.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes, it's a project book hotline.
I see. Miss Okaya, I'd like to address this question to you. I'm actually concerned with your proposal, considering that we'll insert a bit of politics here, considering that the human rights situation in the Philippines is quite, let's say, in the words of the opposition, it's quite dire, and many observers, international observers, have said that the ongoing drug war and of course the various policies of the current Duterte administration is really putting a strain on human rights advocates and organizations in the Philippines, no? Is it safe to say that your advocacy right now is in danger of being politicized, or you yourself may be in danger or being put in the crossfire of the ongoing politics of the country?
Right, so it's a very interesting time. I agree with you, Sir Ryan, that it's a very interesting time for our advocacy, especially because of the current direction of the administration. And this is why we are pushing towards educating more members, towards really letting them understand that dignity is important and it is the foundation of human rights. Okay, so on the question of being politicized, I believe that it is safe for me to continue and carry on as long as I keep the focus on the mission of the organization, which is to really advocate for the rights of the people who are marginalized. Mm. What I mean is that the people who are left out because of policies that are anti-poor, right? So I guess as long as I don't take sides, like I don't fully immerse myself in one political color, I think it's safe to carry out my advocacy.
Mm, I see. So thank you for that, Ms. Okaya. Now, this one, I'd like to address this question to both of you teachers. This has something to do with what we find ourselves or how we find the teaching profession in this new normal, under this new normal. No, we are finding ourselves increasingly reliant upon the internet because there can be no physical contact. And I understand that many of our students, especially in the state-run universities and colleges, the SUCs, many of the students are facing internet access problems, especially those who are indigent or who belong to heavily marginalized communities across the Philippines. No, how do you bring your advocacies in a time when physical distancing is quite imposed, or rather is really imposed upon the populace as a whole, especially the studentry and the faculty?
Yes, okay, so I'd like to answer that by
saying
that we maximize social media presence in the sense that there are various initiatives that are being run through petitions, through GoFundMe, donation drives. So I believe that even in the pandemic, actually, because of the pandemic, we've found more ways to be innovative and to reach more people, a wider audience. As to the question of very marginalized or heavily marginalized communities, I believe that the stage we are in now is in the planning stage, and we plan to carry it out once the lockdown restrictions kind of mellow down a bit.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Okaya. Mr. Bihasa, go ahead.
Yes, in my book, in Project Books, really, internet is very difficult for us, right? Yes, and then at some point, I was thinking about that question because, like, it's still a struggle for me. It's still a struggle because some students and some learners are really have the difficulty, especially with regards to internet, social media. But we try to find ways, like maybe we can suggest also to them, yeah, maybe you can go to your relatives or friends so that you can contact with us. And sometimes, like if not social media, they'll be using phones and then and trying to contact us. And honestly, it's really difficult when it comes to internet.
Mm, I see. So both of you are really finding ways to try to cope up with the demands, no, as with many other teachers, as with that we have also interviewed in this podcast. So yes, there are really a lot of adaptations that we have to do. But I'll direct your attention now, teachers, to the second to the last talking points for this evening. We have the question of what is the difference between advocacies and activism. The context of this question actually arose because of one of the previous guests that we had in our podcast, no, si Mr. Olaivar. He is an activist at the same time an advocate of many causes. And there were observations from listeners who kindly messaged us that is there a difference between advocacies and activism? That's why I'm bringing this one, this question to you so that we can reflect upon this point. Do you consider yourselves activists as well, or is there really a substantive difference between advocates and activists, considering that the term activist is also heavily politicized lately, no? And it has been used by certain elements, those in power, to actually silence critics, and perhaps we can clarify this issue for our listeners. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. For me, there's some point. There's a difference between activism and advocacy. But I always look into
a good side, not in a negative side. Because when I say activism, it's really proactive when it comes to talks about social issues or get involved in political issues and speak what you believe. And when I say advocacy, it is something, it's about like thinking on how to help people, on think of a plan, how we can help their needs. That's for me, for advocacy and activism.
Okay, thank you, Sir Richie. Ma'am Okaya? Ms. Okaya?
Right, so I agree that it's a very challenging time to really speak out for causes and to be passionate about them, especially because of the terror bill and because of the red tagging here and there of people. But I guess the main difference between an activist and an advocate in a traditional sense, I'm not saying that this applies for everyone, because as you said, it's a heavily politicized term and anyone can just say that, oh, I'm an activist, oh, I'm an advocate, but not really stand up to the ideals of what it takes to be an activist. So I guess the activism that I would subscribe for or subscribe to would be, as Richie said, the proactive kind of activism, not the one that would cause chaos or would inspire chaos. But I guess if you speak up for what you think is right, you inspire others to do it, there's never anything wrong with it. And for the person who says that he or she is an advocate, I guess what that person is just trying to say is to find another term, no? Even if that person is really an activist, kaya ang pagsabot meron sa activist kay being active. But as an advocate, we cannot slack around. So therefore, by definition or by the work that we do, we are activists. But as Richie said, the good kind of activists, the positive kind of activists.
So that's a very interesting dichotomy that has been brought forth in this discussion, no? Okay, but perhaps we can deal with that, or we can delve with it in a separate podcast as to that matter, so we can move on to the final talking point for this evening. Okay, so for this evening, final talking point, we ask, can teachers make a difference, no? And this will be your, let's say, final words for this evening as well, so for the audience. So anyone can start.
Okay. If there are medical frontliners and different health frontliners in this pandemic, teachers are also called educational frontliners, and they're also considered as a parent. And for me, there's a big difference that we can make to our community, because we portray a role, a big role, as I mentioned a while ago. We serve as a parent too, where we can teach our people, our teenagers, our young generation today, to be more exemplar, to be more compassionate, to be an exemplar by their own way. And with our voice as teachers, if we are able to guide and to help them to be better every day and to be more every day, and that's the thing that makes us help the people to make a difference and gives impact to their lives. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Miss Anne.
Right. So I was checking the weekly blogs that I ask my students to do, because it's a teacher thing to always want to know how they're doing. So I assign them to write teaching blogs, and one particular quote that almost brought me to tears is that one student had this quotation in the blog that said, "Teachers teach not from books, but from the heart." And I guess that's the whole point of why we're here, what we do as advocates and as teachers, because we want to be able, as I said, not only to teach them 1+1 or 2+2 or grammar or history, but we want to inspire them to take action. We want to inspire them to have this moral ascendancy. so that the world as we know it would be a better place.
I see. That's a very empowering thing to say, and as well as Mr. Bihasa, no? Those are very powerful words that you leave our audience for tonight. And I hope for those who are listening, you also take inspiration from the teachers who are generous enough to spend their time with us tonight in this podcast session. So thank you for both of you, Mr. Rechi Bihasa and Ma'am Emmanuel Ann Ukaya. So thank you for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you also for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you as well for listening to the Kasinatian Kasayuran Kasaysayan Kamatuuran podcast. We are available on seven different platforms. You may follow us on Facebook, and you can tune in every Monday and Friday for new episodes. So this has been your host, Ryan Dave Raila. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.